This means that Donald Trump will be the 45th president of the United States.
This is your life now. This is our election now. This is us. This is our country. It's real.
Hi, and welcome back to the 45th. Rabia here with my co-host colleague, Susan Simpson. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Rabia.
It's been a very, very busy 2 weeks. I gotta say.
We always say that, but and it's always true, but it is extra duper true this time around.
Super duper true. Yeah. So I remember last week I was like, God, Susan, we really need to. There's so much shit we gotta talk about. And then then another 7 days goes by and it's like crazy. So anyhow, but for our listeners, we believe we should be going back to our weekly schedule, at least between now and the election. So
starting now
despite whatever production difficulties we might have, but it's just important to do, and we know that there's just gonna be a lot of news happening in the next few weeks. So all right, let's just start where we always do, which is where we are on COVID. We now are at over 7.5 million positive cases in the United States. We're well over 200,000 deaths, 211,108 as of this morning, according to Johns Hopkins. Dr. Fauci did a virtual event yesterday, and he said, given the rate that he's predicting 300,000 to 400,000 deaths, he didn't say exactly in what time frame, but he says that's what he thinks that the United States is eventually going to land on. And the news is not much better in other parts of the world, it seems. I mean, there's a second wave right now really hurting Europe. The death rate has been rising in Europe. I mean, we're still like worst off in the world. Yay, America's number one. But there have been increases in case levels in 27 countries. Paris is about to go on another lockdown. The Czech Republic has declared a state of emergency. And Germany just recently reported the highest case number since the start of the pandemic. So it's not looking good.
Yeah, and there's extremely intense rates of COVID positivity and one certain sector of Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there is, what would you say, like a ground zero of that, and we'll talk about that. But I do want to talk briefly about the first presidential debate, because it seems like it was kind of a, it seemed like a really important event at the time.
at that moment, at the exact moment in the last two-week period.
Like that night.
It felt like it was important.
That night, it felt like we need to talk about this. Did you watch it, by the way?
I did, and secretly, not so secretly, I'm glad I did not have to talk about it right away, because, oh boy.
It was,
oh boy.
You know, I gotta say, I'm not surprised. I actually met my worst expectations, but those were my worst expectations.
Remember the time, though, that he followed Hitler on the stage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was awful. Well, no, was she, okay. That format allowed it because she was standing with a microphone walking around. I'm sure if they were able to do that here, he would probably do the same kind of stupid intimidation. I don't know.
And Biden would definitely have COVID.
He definitely would. Right. And but you know, I still think about that time and I'm like, was he really trying to intimidate her, or was he just a lumbering buffoon, the kind of person who doesn't know what to do with their hands, like when somebody's taking their picture type of thing? Not that those people are buffoons, because I do that. But you know what I mean? Like, he just didn't know what to do with himself. I'm not sure.
No, that was definitely intimidation.
Well,
subconscious or otherwise, that was his way of trying to be the center of attention at all times, even when she's talking.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was like takeaway. And he did not let Biden talk. Chris Wallace had zero control from the jump. It was mortifying. Apparently, Trump interrupted Wallace and Biden 155 times in the course of that, 90 minutes or whatever it was. And it was just an utter shit show. I don't remember, I swear to God, a single policy point. Do you remember? I don't remember anything of substance.
I cannot even remember anything other than a distant roaring of nonsense.
The only point that that stood out to me and I thought was the best moment of the night was when Trump brought up Vice President Biden's children. And to note, Biden never once made mention. He just didn't go there. But I want everybody to hear this clip.
My son was in Iraq. He spent a year there. He got the Bronze Star. He got the Conspicuous Service Medal. He was not a loser. He was a patriot, and the people left behind were heroes.
Really?
And I resent.
Are you talking about Hunter?
Hell.
Are you talking about
I'm
Hunter?
Talking about my son, Beau Biden. You're talking about.
I don't know Beau. I know Hunter.
Yeah,
Hunter
you know
got
Beau.
Thrown. Hunter got thrown out of the military. He was thrown out, dishonorably discharged.
That's not true.
For
it wasn't dishonorably.
Cocaine use. And he didn't have a job until you became vice president. Once you
None
became
of that
vice president,
true.
He made a fortune in Ukraine, in China, in Moscow,
that is simply
and various
not
other places.
True.
He
my
made
son,
a fortune.
Gentlemen, my son.
And he didn't have a job.
My son, like a lot of people we know at home, had a drug problem. He's overtaken it. He's fixed it. He's worked on it. And I'm proud of him.
But why
I'm
was
proud
he given tens
son.
Of millions
All right.
of dollars?
But he wasn't given All right. tens of millions
of
dollars. That is totally, that's
President
been totally
President
discredited.
Trump, we've already been
totally discredited.
What did you think of that moment?
I think that Biden had obviously prepped for it.
Yeah.
And done well. That's the only response you could do. But also, it wasn't even just prep. It was like...
It was authentic.
Biden refused to... I mean, he's just not ashamed of his son. Like, he's not going to be.
Right.
He's proud of his son. And, like, what you going to do about Trump? Like,
I thought no other moment more perfectly captured the difference between these two men. Like, this moment told us who these men were. And Trump, I mean, it was so ugly. The pain in Biden's voice when he talked about Beau and him serving and not being a loser. And Trump being like, I don't know, Beau. I mean, it was like Trump just showing his full ass. You know, like, this is the absolute reprehensible person I am. And Biden responding with the most incredible grace. I did think, and you know, that answer was not just meant for Trump and for people, but also it was meant for Hunter. It was meant for his son.
Yeah.
Right. So
he knows his son's being hurt badly, like his son's being dragged around.
Yeah.
And like for some of it, not unjustified, but still, I mean, as a dad, I'm sure. It's not easy to watch your son go through that.
Of course. And for people who have addiction problems, addiction is a lifelong struggle. This is not something you're like one and done. You're done and suddenly you're sober forever. And you don't know what could trigger people back into that. And so, yeah, I mean, for Hunter having this affirmation and having the support, that's the best thing that he could get as a gift from his father in terms of staying sober. But
there's kind of a darker side of it, too, which is... And again, technically unconfirmed, but to any observer who can notice the extremely unsubtle signs, something is seriously up with Don Jr. I mean, I don't know why they put that boy on this like screen anymore. That's like feels
you know
like
what?
A...
Last week, when it in I think in the days leading up to the debate and the day after, like there were a couple of videos of him where he looked rocked out of his mind.
How is the campaign so disorganized? That they can't even stop the president's
I can see it.
Having substance issue son from going on and doing campaign events. Like, how can they not stop that?
I can see it. But they can't stop their own candidate from losing his shit. I mean, I can see it. But the thing is, he's actually kind of disappeared.
Well, that's good.
It's been about a week, like, since we've heard from him. One thing that might have gotten missed in a lot of the news we're going to talk about is the news around his girlfriend, Kim... Was it Guilfoyle? I can't say her last name. Did you see that? The lawsuit that's been filed? Yeah.
I immediately tried to block it on my mind, but yes.
Okay. Yeah. I was like...
What this election does not need is more, like, big pick scandals.
It's horrifying.
Been there, done that.
It's horrifying. The allegations against this woman when she was at Fox, I mean, she was a serial, like, sexual harasser and a predator herself. It was crazy. Terrifying stuff. And if that is the woman and that is his companion, I mean, things don't bode well for Don Jr. Anyhow, so we thought this debate was going to be the big news of the week, but that's not happening.
No. We thought that Trump's tax returns being released.
Oh, that's right. Shit. I forgot about that. When did that happen?
And unfortunately, to protect its sources, the New York Times is not releasing the full documents, which makes it very difficult to do any kind of further deep dive. But their coverage so far has been pretty good.
Where do you think they're from? I know you have a theory.
I suspect that they've probably had them from other sources, and now they've gotten like a confirmatory source, because there's no way, like, this is not something they do unless they had like multiple independent people
right
providing them and like saying, yep, this is real. So you think
maybe folks like from within the company that does Trump's taxes, like his lawyers, like somewhere in there, like somebody,
I think it could be, I mean, like, honestly, it could be a move in part by someone, these companies that have these forms to try and like tone down the fights over the subpoenas, because like, hey, if they're already out there, then maybe they can not be blamed for releasing them to the authorities in New York.
Yeah. And that story came out last, when it was the day before the debate, right? Monday. It came out the day before the debate because I thought it was going to feature heavily in the debate. And Trump
denied it. He just denied it.
He denied it. Some of it he denied outright. But then he has also at the same time been saying...
No, he denied it. He said he paid millions in taxes, which like he may have been referring to like taxes for like...
Estate taxes.
Or like foreign taxes. Yeah. But like he answered a question about federal taxes, income taxes, income and said taxes. Millions. So he's just lying.
He just outright lied. Yeah, that's what happened.
But here's the thing. Okay, this is not a good news cycle for Trump. Luckily for him, it was a super brief one. But overall, on balance, getting this stuff out there, like say 2017, would have been far more beneficial to him politically.
Yeah.
It's not going to harm, like, if it's talking about politics only, if it's a question of like what's going to give him the best ratings and cause him to lose the least votes for 2020, mm-hmm. he should have gotten this out years ago and just, you know, endured one bad cycle and moved on. Because guess what? His base ain't going to care about it. And everyone else already kind of knew how much he sucked, and saying it might sway a few, but, you know, politically it's not the issue here. Which makes me think that the reason Trump fought so hard and so long has nothing to do with the political aspect of it. It's because those tax returns are pretty good evidence of crimes. Lots of crime in.
And, I mean, of course, everybody was shocked to see that he paid, like, nothing, no income tax at all for, like, 10 years, and I think $750 for 2 years. But then there's also the fact that he has personal debts in the amount of hundreds of millions of dollars. And I guess there's no documents right now for us to know who he owes that money to.
We know some of them, but not all of them. And it's not even the debts that are, I mean, the debts are concerning, but he has been pretty openly money laundering and involved in Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, foreign bribes, for ages. And it's...
How do these documents, how does this reporting reflect that?
Not these particular documents, but like stuff that he's been doing has been pretty open for a while. He's never had consequences. Mm. Whatever reason, no one's thought to pursue charges against him for that, or the company for that. But these documents are pretty black and white. Either one, he was inflating assets mm-hmm. to get loans, which mm-hmm. is a crime, or he's lying on these taxes, which also is a crime, or both.
Right.
So...
Right. I mean, it can't be both. Either you are, and there's also then the rhetoric around it and the image. Either you're a highly successful businessman who is not paying his due taxes, or you're an actual loser and a criminal. Which is it? All right. So but
this does confirm my theory from way back when. When was it? 2017, 2018, when on the Maddow show, they released a year or two of Trump's tax returns.
Right.
And they showed that he had paid income taxes. And of course, they were like...
They were really old returns.
They were postal stamp, though. The postal stamp was just like Westchester, New York, where the Trump boys had been just before. And like, it's pretty clear it was the Trump family that leaked those taxes back then, because they're like the 1 year they could find. They showed he paid taxes at all.
They showed he paid taxes. You're brilliant, Susan. See, I didn't even remember that entire event happening. But yeah, so it does, I think, politically damage him more that it's coming out now. Although I feel like the people who are going to vote for him are going to vote for him. I feel like no matter what, that's what it seems like, because what they're looking at is what he represents.
So I am in Michigan right now in the fall, and I have discovered that Michigan in the fall means you're going through all four seasons at once, like on a daily basis. It is extremely uncomfortable. I have now gotten better at the whole layering thing, but still going from like need a big puffy jacket to like wearing a tank top, my body can't cope, which is why Ember Wave is the best outside help for fucking terrible weather. No, it's good weather, but then bad, then good, then bad. And Ember Wave helps you get through it by being the first bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button. Ember Wave provides comfort in unpredictable climates, relief from stress, and support for sleep. At the end of a long day, Ember Wave also has a fall asleep mode that you can use to help maintain a comfortable temperature as you drift off to sleep. So right now, Ember Wave is offering our listeners $50 off when you go to emberwave.com/45th. That's emberwave.com/45th.
Right, so let's talk about that ceremony. It was last Monday, just over a week ago, seven, 10 days ago, in the Rose Garden, where Trump had a whole, you know, lots of people hanging out together. That was the super spreader event that caused all of this to...
Well, maybe. It was a spreader event. Was it the super one? To be seen.
It seems pretty clear. And here's the thing. Is Amy Barrett her name?
Amy Coney Barrett.
Amy Coney Barrett. All right. So apparently, Amy Coney Barrett herself said that she had had COVID over the summer. She didn't say when in the summer. She just said the summer. So some have speculated.
Technically, summer didn't end until September. Right. Just saying.
So people are speculating that maybe she brought it to the party. I don't know. But Hope Hicks was the first one to have been reported testing positive from the virus. And I believe that was last Wednesday, the day after the debate. And then since then, it's just been like a snowball.
Yeah. So let's remember that debate was on Tuesday. The candidates were supposed to, on the honor system, take tests beforehand. And everyone kind of just assumed Trump had done so. But it would now seem he had not, in fact, taken a test. And very likely, well, actually, was certainly infected at the time of the debates. And now the White House has refused on numerous occasions to say when Trump last got a negative test. Which could suggest that Trump hasn't been tested all along. Like, he probably hates the test and is like, I'm not doing it. Probably not even bothering.
Can you imagine that shit? Well, yeah, they were on the honor. So I saw an interview with Chris Wallace. Chris said that basically him and others who had arrived a day or two earlier, they had gotten, the Cleveland Clinic had tested them. They were all ready. But the folks from the two campaigns were on the honor system. They were supposed to be tested negative and cleared. The rules were they had to be socially distanced and wearing a mask the entire time during the debate, which the first family refused to do the minute they got into the debate hall. I just want to play this clip. Once news began coming out of all the the COVID having been spread. Who knows how many people sitting in that hall brought it there with them and then weren't masked. But I want to just take a listen to this.
No, that's not the reality. Look, everybody was tested before that event, as you well know. Those of us who went first were tested by Cleveland Clinic directly. Everybody who gets on Air Force One for any trip on Air Force One is tested before they get on.
Steve, it doesn't matter. Everybody that was in that room was tested. Everybody that was in that room was tested. And the Cleveland Clinic's regulation was it didn't matter. Everybody except for the three of us on the stage was to wear a mask, and people from the Cleveland Clinic came over and offered the first family masks, thinking maybe they didn't have them. They were waved away, and the Commission on Presidential Debates has issued a statement saying, from now on, if you don't wear a mask, you're going to be escorted from the hall. So forget this question of being tested beforehand. Everybody was tested beforehand. No, I'm going to finish my question. Everybody was told to wear a mask. Why did the first family and the chief of staff feel that the rules for everybody else didn't apply to them?
Chris, we believe that masks are very useful. The president has worn them on many occasions, including visiting the hospital where he's now a patient. When he was visiting as commander-in-chief as a guest to visit soldiers there, he wore a mask. So we believe in masks. We also believe in some element of individual choice. People were distanced and they had been tested. Both of those things were true in that convention hall.
No, Steve, they weren't distanced and there were rules and there was no freedom of choice. They broke the rules.
Chris, I was there. I was there like you were, and they were distanced.
Why did they break the rules?
Those chairs were not close together. Look, those chairs were not close together. And again, we also believe that people
can make reasonable
individual choices.
It doesn't matter, Steve. The rules from the Cleveland Clinic, they were close together, Steve. And the rules from the Cleveland Clinic were everybody wears a mask. Why didn't they?
So yeah, he's fuming. He could have been exposed to it. And he's not a young man. I mean, so we have no idea when Trump last tested negative because they have been asked repeatedly. The White House will not give any answers. And his doctor, Conley.
Actually, the White House just gave a statement now.
What?
Quote, when asked when Trump's last negative test was, I don't know when he last tested negative. We're not going to go back through a bunch of records and look backwards.
Is that what Conley said?
No, well, kind of, yeah. This is a White House spokesman.
Because that just happened right now. So Conley said that a couple of days ago, right? Conley's like, I don't want to go backwards. What the fuck are you talking about?
It means they're obviously lying, but they know that if they don't give an answer, even though everyone knows what it means, the media won't report that way, so they can get out of the fact that Trump intentionally or recklessly exposed Biden to the virus.
Biden. And by the way, there was also the day after the debate, an event at the White House where there was no distancing, no nothing. It was a Gold Star parents or family event, you know, for Gold Star families of military. And somebody like a Coast Guard officer actually tested positive after the event. Nobody who attended the event was told that man tested positive. Nobody from the Biden team heard from the Trump team that anybody in their camp has the virus. And they are actively preventing any kind of contact tracing for how this started spreading. And right now, I think the latest count is 18 people from the Trump administration.
Oh, definitely more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, that's just the last count, but...
And worth noting that one of them is Stephen Miller.
Was he? I guess he was there on Monday, huh?
Yeah.
So you don't think... You thought maybe there was another super spreader event?
Well, we can stop bearing the lead here. I mean, we should also mention, of course, that Donald Trump is one of those who has the phobia.
Well, yeah. He is the super spreader.
So here is where things get weird, because the past week was such a whirlwind. I was mostly out of touch with the world and the internet the most week. So every time I got an update, I was like, what the fuck?
Shocked.
We've gone from like, shocked. Hope Hicks has COVID to Trump has it. Oh, yeah, he's in the hospital now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's now getting compassionate use drugs.
Yeah.
But here, the timeline doesn't make sense because there's no way it went down that way.
Mm-hmm.
COVID doesn't move that fast. Mm. If he'd gotten it on Saturday, he wouldn't have been hospitalized when he was, because it takes about, you know, 2 minimum, but like 5 days is usually how long it takes.
Well, okay, but if he had gotten on Monday, if he had gotten at the Rose Garden ceremony and then on Friday he's hospitalized, that's 5 days.
No, that's the symptoms.
Okay.
5 days of symptoms, and then it take a while before you actually get hospitalized.
Mm.
The timeline very much suggests that Trump had it before Saturday.
Oh, my dear
God. So he was the one present at the Barrett announcement ceremony, spreading it everywhere. And others could have been too, of course.
My God. He's like patient zero.
he is a patient zero in the scenario, because it just does not make sense.
Yeah.
In any what we know this virus so far, it does not do what Trump's public reveals of his medical condition would suggest it did.
Well, he apparently first started showing symptoms like Thursday, right? Thursday is when they reported that he had the virus.
He admitted to them.
Right. He admitted to them. Well, he was seen Thursday he went to a fundraiser. Right. So yep. Even if you have symptoms, they weren't serious enough that people could actually see them, or they were, you know, clear and obvious. So I was reading today that the most serious basically time after contracting COVID is 7 to 10 days after the onset of symptoms. And we're basically in that period now. So we don't know what's going to happen. But he did not give a shit. Yeah. So he went to Walter Reed. He was in Walter Reed for 3 days, and he basically was given like so many things, remdesivir, supplemental oxygen. He was on an experimental cocktail called REGN-CoV-2, which is an antibody therapy. He's been on a dose of the steroid dexamethasone, I can't even say it, which according to most of the medical experts I've been seeing on CNN and MSNBC and others are like, that's usually given to patients who are like really serious, like on ventilator serious.
Ventilator, not necessarily that, but the steroid he's on is only indicated for someone who is on oxygen, not a ventilator, but who has a serious condition, has serious COVID.
Yeah.
Because if someone has a lesser case of it, having the steroid would suppress their own immune system.
It's worse for them.
And they're able to fight it off. Yeah, so right. They should not be doing it. I mean, everything about this just that Trump was in fact, very much ill.
Right.
One, he hates hospitals. He hates being even more looking weak. So if he'd had any say in the matter, he would not allow this to happen. And the medical treatments he's received, again, suggest it's serious. And the fact that Dr. Conley wouldn't answer questions about his lung condition? I'm guessing he got, like, Swiss cheese lungs now.
I mean, most of the like I said, the medical kind of commentators, Dr. Sanjay Gupta and others, are like, you know, what's probably highly likely given the therapy he's been given is that he had COVID pneumonia. And that's not unusual, especially, you know, given his comorbidities. But basically, they won't say anything about that. I mean, every time Conley was asked, he just said, oh, HIPAA prevents me from telling you that the president's lungs are shot. On Sunday, I think he did that stupid-ass drive-by exposing everybody like in Secret Service in the car with him to COVID. He's probably just, like, shedding virus everywhere he goes. He did a drive-by to what? To, like, maybe 80 people standing out? I mean, like, there were hardly anybody out there, but he still
Because he wanted to go home. It was a negotiation, apparently. He wanted to go back, and they're like, oh, you can't. We'll let you go ride in your little car and take a trip around the block and come back. It's I mean, I'm laughing now, but I did not. Everyone else on Twitter was like, you know, cracking one-liners, and I was just
angry.
Filled with dread. I still am, because it's just nothing of this is going to go well.
Yeah.
Like, the worst case scenario, I don't even know what that is, but like, the best case scenario is probably what we got right now, where he survives and uses his survival as an excuse to make sure hundreds of thousands of others die, because, well, one, he'll see.
How is this best case? I got to stop you for a second. Wait,
I mean, worst case, constitutional crisis?
I mean, I feel like there's...
Biden gets a two?
Okay. Definitely worst case. But okay, I mean, I don't know if this guy survives. Well, okay, so first of all, we got to talk about his return on Monday. That was so shocking. When he did the whole walk from the helicopter up to the balcony, rips off his mask, and is gasping for air like a fish. Like, I've never seen, people don't breathe like that. It was so clear that he was struggling to take a breath. This guy will do anything to prevent from looking weak. And then he turned around and walked into the White House, still shedding virus without a mask on. And even his mask, he's not wearing the N95s. He's been wearing like a cloth mask and the other paper one, but he's not wearing an N95. He just walks into the White House where there's like staffers and servers and staff and all kinds of people working there. I don't know if he's holed up in his room or what's going on now, but he has been tweeting like a crazy person.
I mean, Kudlow was on TV saying that he'd gone to the Oval Office today, which was quickly backtracked. But I mean,
how do you backtrack that?
The White House is like, nope, just kidding. He didn't.
Okay.
I mean, it's just all so irresponsible. It is all so North Korean levels of what the fuck. It is all so...
And then they put out that video, that weird, crazy propaganda video showing him returning to the White House, you know? Like, it was out like 30 minutes later. And in the meantime, we've heard like nothing virtually about the condition of the First Lady.
She's fine. She's in tweet. She's cool.
She's cool. She's good.
She's cool. She's minor case.
She's just like, listen, I got to get like my... estate shit in order, because this guy is not going to make it. What about Chris Christie?
Yeah, by the quick note, the winner of Trump's COVID is Melania.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that quashed her goddamn news cycle that I'm sad we're not going to enjoy a second longer.
Oh, you're right. I forgot about that story, too.
You know what? Let's roll tape.
They say I'm complicit. I'm the same like him. I support him. I don't say enough. I don't do enough.
No.
Where I am... I'm working like a ass, my ass.
I know.
Christmas stuff that, you know, who gives a f*** about Christmas stuff and decoration, but I need to do it, right?
Yeah, but 100%. You have no choice.
And then I do it, and I say that I'm working on Christmas, planning for the Christmas. And they said, oh, what about the children that they were separated? Give me a break. Where they were saying anything when Obama did that?
I know.
I cannot go. I was trying to get the kid reunited with the mom. I didn't have a chance. It needs to go through the process and through the law.
But here's my thing. Did you hear what you just said? But instead of that, if you just, your messaging, you were so loved.
They would not do the story. We put it out. They would not. Do the story.
I'm telling
you. You would not believe it. They would not do the story because they would not do the story because they are against us, because they're liberal media. Yeah, if I go to Fox, they will do the story. I don't want to go to Fox.
All right. Full disclosure. I'm not going to say I'm a fan of Melania, because I'm definitely not, but I have an appreciation for her sense of style. I don't think...
Wait, are you saying you've liked the way she's decorated the White House for Christmas?
I have. Oh, because my God. There was a very obvious fuck you to it.
Oh, I see.
Which, like...
Well, here...
I love the spooky look to it. I mean, you know, I'm not all about the tinsel and baubles. So
I mean, that is her spirit. It reflected her spirit. Okay, well, style is
she communicates through style. She communicates through her design decorations. She's not subtle about it, but everyone's like, oh, you're reading too much into her very obvious fashion choices. But like that,
the halls looked like they were full of blood, but otherwise, yeah, they're lovely.
I know, it looked amazing. I loved it. but it turns out I was not, in fact, reading too much into it, because in fact, Melania, not unreasonably, mm-hmm. was sick of all the Christmas bullshit that she did not want to do and had no choice but to do.
You know what? So she probably felt the same way about the Rose Garden, too. That's why she just tore that shit up and was like, I'm just going to level it and put down some concrete. Fuck this.
Oh, did you see her jacket at the, or her suit at the debate?
Yes. That was again, interesting.
A total, like, I mean, everything she wears usually has, like, some kind of.
What did it say to you? What did it say to you? It was very masculine.
It said, my husband's suit is ridiculous, and here's how a real suit should look.
This is what a suit should look like.
Yeah, she was showing him up. It's like when she wore the Pelosi white to his State of the Union. Mm.
Well, I'll say this about that clip. I think that clip was scandalous for not the reason that I feel like people were talking about it. I actually kind of appreciated what she was saying in it, because what she was saying is, people, first of all, she seemed clearly upset that people were saying that she's like Trump. She doesn't want to be like Trump, right? That's how the clip starts out.
But she is. That's
right. She is. But she is.
She doesn't want to be.
But she doesn't want to be. But also what she's saying is like, I don't want to deal with stupid shit like white fucking White House Christmas decorations. Like, who cares
like,
about this?
I get that. I am on Team Melania for that thing and that thing alone.
Yeah. It almost seemed like, okay, she wanted to focus on more serious things. And then she did say that, even like with the kid stuff, or they're blaming it on me, but Obama was doing, or blaming it on us, Obama was doing it, and I tried to help, but I couldn't help this one family because they were going through the process. So it almost seemed like her concerns were maybe in the right place.
Not really, but she didn't do anything. I mean, she didn't actually do anything to help. She was not publicly opposed to it. She didn't take a stance.
But she can't. How can she be publicly opposed to her husband's policies?
Like, I mean, your husband's policies is separating children.
Yeah.
And as the New York Times then came out, mm-hmm. like, oh my God, it's even worse than we imagined. Or just as bad as we imagined.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give her, I mean.
I wasn't as horrified by it.
She is what she is. Like, but yeah. I was not the Christmas part. You know what, girl, I'm all with you there. Stopping everything else.
I am curious to see how the White House will be decorated this year. Maybe in black bunting because of the passing of a president. But anyhow, moving along. So we don't know how Chris Christie's doing. We don't know Stephen Miller, unfortunately, also has it. Who else? Let's see. Kellyanne Conway has it. Her daughter has it. Kaylee McEnany has it. I don't even know. There's like a three or four.
White House staffers have it.
Yep. Three or four Republican senators have it.
The support staff, like that's
the support staff
fucked up thing he's done.
I thought there's like 11 of the 11 people who helped prep for the debates on last Monday have it
because they gathered around, didn't have masks. Like, it just what did they think was going to happen?
And they're apparently, so even before the ceremony in the Rose Garden, there was like, this is what they did. Every single person who was invited to the ceremony was given a rapid test and told right then and there, you're negative, you don't have to wear a mask. They were told, you do not have to wear a mask, do not wear a mask. And then they had a reception, which was like in a closed room, indoors, all together. And there's pictures of them like all mingling around, hugging. There was so much hugging happening at this thing, I can't even tell you. Because they're so happy to get a Supreme Court, another conservative Supreme Court justice on the bench. It's just to me. So what do you think? So if these senators don't recover, can Mitch McConnell make this vote happen?
They'll recover. Some of them will. Enough will recover. I don't think. I mean, the problem is the delay, because guess what? Senate's got to vote in person. Guess what? These guys can't vote in person unless they do, which I'm, outside chance. That's what we've seen that happens here. Mm-hmm. The problem is the delay, because if they properly wait until everyone's safe to return, we're going to be pushing mid-October before we even get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought,
I mean, not that Mitchell let stop him regardless.
I thought October 19th was like a date that he had said that he's gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we're looking at. I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter how awkward it is. He'll go ahead. But, mm-hmm. He's also trying to make it less awkward to the extent he can while still getting his new justice. So I most likely she will be confirmed. But in the month of October of 2020, there ain't nothing for certain.
Well, I don't know what happened to Trump. I don't know if it's the combination of drugs that he's on right now. I heard that steroid. I mean, I've seen people who've tweeted about being on it and how it made them feel crazy but invincible at the same time. He's tweeted about almost 50 times last night, about 50 times this morning. And it's been crazy. I don't know if it's in response to the poll numbers, which are looking very good for Biden, but, you know, I trust nothing at this point. Something is very wrong in the White House right now with him. I mean, this is manic to a level that I don't think we've seen in a long time.
Unless they're like weakened at Trumping it right now, and he's comatose, and like Stephen Miller's like, how do I pretend to be Trump on Twitter?
Well, look,
you must not suspect anything.
It is Wednesday afternoon. He has not been actually seen since Monday.
So Stephen
evening.
Miller is now in quarantine, pretending to be Trump on Twitter, and he's just kind of overacting it a tiny bit.
That could be it. That could be it. Okay.
But okay. The tweets have been crazy, which is not, again, is Trump, not that unusual, but
he made the market crash yesterday, man. Like with one tweet.
That was just the biggest, like, never mind. It's all nonsense. It's crazy. It's all nonsense. It makes no sense. There's no strategy to it. It's just him whining. So his tweet from earlier today was, again, all caps. Now that the radical left Democrats got caught cold in the non-friendly transfer of government, in fact, they spied on my campaign and went for a coup, we are entitled to ask the voters for 4 more years. Please remember this when you vote. I mean, he's not joking. He never was joking, but now it's very clear he's not joking. The president is demanding an unconstitutional grant of extended term, and like no one's really blinking about it because he's a crazy person.
But we've seen it so many times. Is a thing. He's said it so many times.
That's his whole freaking strategy. And like, how can you imagine if we said in 2015 that there will be a president who will demand announce that he is entitled to serve 12 years in office, and no one really cares or reacts or responds?
I am mostly just amused at the idea that he thinks he'll actually live that long. I mean, he really thinks he's young enough to like serve that long, that he really thinks at the end of 4 years he will have the vigor for another 4 years. What is he talking about? But you know, that's the thing, like, so there are malignant narcissists really don't think they're ever going to die, and I think that's even where he is with this virus, because he is absolutely not in the clear. There's no way he's in the clear right now. And
it's possible he is if he's actually had it for like 2 weeks now.
Maybe. But, you know, you're looking at the timeline with the Herman Cain timeline.
Yeah, but Herman Cain was, yeah.
It took, he was. Yeah, it took a little time. I mean, like he was. He,
it did.
Yeah, it took a little time.
He was hospitalized by now.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's see. I mean, for all we know, a week from now, Susan, we could be reading his eulogy. I mean, anything's possible.
Dude, I hope to God that that's not what happens. I could not hope for it anymore. Mm. I just don't see anything good coming of that. I don't want anyone to die of this. I'm not saying that out of like any concern for the president. Like once election's over and everything's all
then
out
he
of
can
office,
totally
like,
drop
whatever.
Dead.
Like I don't care. Like frankly, it's just you know. Too bad for
family.
What
does happen in a situation like that? If he were to die before the election, does that mean then Pence, the ballot is Pence then, and Pence picks a running mate, right? That's the ballot.
I forget what the exact terms are at this stage, but I think theoretically they could even get someone different, but it'd be Pence. Point being, I mean, I feel like on a narrative level, mm-hmm. it's also extremely unsatisfying in that
I just feel like it's karmic. Are you kidding me? He's been like giving the middle finger to people dying of COVID left and right all across this nation. Still doesn't care, by the way.
I want to see America vote him out of office. I mean, that's maybe
that's
going to
happen.
Right,
that can happen. He can die and he can still lose. You know what I mean? If Pence loses, that's Trump losing.
I think no matter who the president is, having him die in office is traumatic for the government and for contingency of democracy. And that, you know, let's do our best to avoid that. Let's try and
look. This asshole has so much karma coming towards it. Just 2 days ago, it's Wednesday. 2 days ago, this is the day that Trump is still in the hospital. As Trump is still in the hospital, his administration's health chief met with a trio of scientists who basically, the three of them backed the theory that the U.S., our best bet is to achieve immunity through herd immunity. And so, like, this is something that they are now, like, basically, like, for practical purposes, that's kind of what's been happening. I mean, like, I guess that's what's been their strategy, is to do nothing and just to let herd immunity. We know he's talked about that before, but now they're like having meetings over this. Right. And then Azar, who basically was on a news program the other night, described the three guys as three distinguished infectious disease experts. And they were sharing favor moving aggressively to reopen the economy while sidelining broad testing and other fundamental public health measures. 3 months, maybe six, is sufficient time for enough immunity to accumulate that the vulnerable could resume their lives. Monday night, one of the doctors said this on Laura Ingraham's show. For herd immunity to happen, about 70% of the population has to be infected. As of this summer, we were a little less than 10. So imagine the rate of death. How many deaths that they're saying they're willing to...
We'll soar past a million.
Yeah, of course. All right.
But also, that presumes that the population will go along with this death cult plan, which...
Some of them will.
Some will. But it's not. There's not going to be 70% that are all like, let's just go for it.
The problem is, it doesn't have to be, right? I mean, the problem is, it can be 30% who decide that this is what they're going to do, and they can fuck it for the rest of us anyways.
You're not going to get enough buy-in to get that 70%.
Yeah, you're not going to. But eventually...
You're just having death for nothing.
Yeah. So can we talk about like that crazy tweet where he basically canceled negotiations over the stimulus bill and crashed the market yesterday?
Why does the market even listen to him?
I heard my husband, who like has one screen open on his trading crap, I just heard like this, whoa, my God, like this loud exclamation come from the room.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, because he didn't know what was happening on Twitter. I was following Twitter and I didn't know what was happening in the stock market. And it was just like a straight line down, boom. Crash. Now, my husband's theory, because the interesting thing is we know Trump is all about the markets. Like to him, the markets rallying means he has a strong economy. That's like the one big indicator that he's always touting. And some folks have said that his Sunday drive-by was also because he wanted to make sure that the markets rallied Monday morning. My husband's theory is that he knew that this was going to make it crash and that people still make a lot of money when markets crash, people who bet against the market. And then he knows he can tweet and then bring it back up. He's like, he's probably in like cahoots with people to make money like this. Maybe.
But if he hasn't been doing that, or if people around him have been doing that for the past like 4 years, I'll be a little disappointed. Not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'd expected worse of them.
But he apparently quickly backtracked. A few hours later, he was just like, I need the House and Senate to immediately approve $25 billion in aid. And right now, I can sign $1,200 checks for everybody. I'm ready to sign right now, he said. And he said,
he's just arguing with himself on Twitter. I cannot see any strategy in this because he is literally just tweeting out brainstorms here. Like he's like...
Brainstorms,
farts. Ideas he gets and floats around and he tweets them out there and then gets a new idea, tweets it out there. There's even less coherency than usual. There's no plan.
What's amazing is like he tags everybody in the tweets. He tags like Schumer and Pelosi and like nobody responds. It's just so sad. It's like when I tweet at somebody really famous and they just, you know, I'm just completely ignored. It's really humiliating.
Like Chrissy Teigen?
Well, she's blocked me. I don't know why, Chrissy, come back. Anyhow, that's another show. All right. So anything else we want to talk about? I don't know. Has anybody else been diagnosed today or gotten like a positive COVID test? I have no idea what's going on like today. Oh, the debates are tonight. The vice president. Oh, yeah. You know who's going to get COVID tonight? Probably Kamala Harris.
Pence has tested negatively. It's not a guarantee, but he's actually being tested like Trump. And also I'm pretty sure robots can't get COVID, so
Well, Miller has proven that the undead can get COVID, so I guess anything's
possible. He's a lizard person, not undead.
Oh, I see, is that how it works?
I'm not like, I'll probably watch the debate, but the vice president debate, but it's not gonna be
Pence had the Pence camp had canceled threatened to cancel a debate because Kamala Harris, they were asking for plexiglass dividers. A picture was tweeted out today showing how they're going to do it, but the dividers, I don't think, are sufficient at all.
Oh, no.
So, I don't know. Speaking of which, did you watch any of the debate between Lindsey Graham and Jamie Harrison last week?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God. It was so good. If you guys just go on YouTube and look for it. Jamie brought his own plexiglass divider to the debate. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I think it was like a U-shaped divider, like 8 feet high, just around him. And I'm like, that is brilliant. And he really humiliated. And he's like outfunding this. I mean, he's outfundraising Lindsey Graham. He's doing a great job. So all power to him. So we mentioned earlier the whole Melania thing, the family separation thing. Well, the New York Times published a pretty shocking but not really report yesterday. There is a draft report that is going to be released, I don't know when, by the DHS Inspector General, Michael Horowitz. It's like an 86-page report. The New York Times got to review it. And basically what it said was that it wasn't so much that separating families was a byproduct of their policies, but that was the policy. The policy was to take away children. Jeff Sessions himself told prosecutors, government prosecutors who work for immigration down at the border, that we need to take away children. That's in quotes. And then he said to them, if they care about kids, then don't bring them in. We won't give amnesty to people with kids. Rod Rosenstein went even further, apparently, and he made a call to those same prosecutors that it didn't matter how young the kids were, that he was upset that some of the prosecutors had refused to prosecute a couple of the cases because the children were infants, breastfeeding infants. And so Rosenstein was like, nope, you should have done that. You should have prosecuted it. That should not have come into account. This was a pilot program in Texas. And after that, Sessions and Rosenstein and I think it's Jean Hamilton, who is a lawyer in the department, apparently pushed to expand the practice down across the entire border. So this was like, you know, this was the point. The cruelty was always the point, to take away children. One prosecutor actually wrote to his superiors saying that, you know, that we have been taking away breastfeeding infants from their mothers. It's horrifying.
It's aside from the intentional cruelty, it's just the banality of it. And that some of these people, of course, are doing it because they really believe in the cause of, you know, genocide at the border, like Stephen Miller. But a lot of these people, a lot of the DOJ are doing it because their boss is mad and, like, Jesus, they don't want to deal with their boss getting really mad at them. So let's, like, make sure the kids get separated from the parents. I mean, it's that.
Apparently, they took a vote at one point with, I don't know how many of the agency heads and higher ups around a table about whether or not to expand the policy. And everybody raised their hands except for, what was her name? Nielsen. Except for the actual secretary, Nielsen. And she's taken the brunt of a lot of this. But she did sign off on it. The next day, she signed off on it. But apparently, she was the only one who did not want to, continue this policy. And we know to this day that nearly 1,500 children are unaccounted for. Like, they have literally just disappeared. We don't know where they are.
And the fact that the bureaucratic, like, fights over, like, who's responsible for tracking it, and DOJ and Rosenstein are like, that's not our problem. Like, y'all should be tracking the kids. Like, we're giving the orders. Y'all have to track them. It's not, what was his phrase? It's not our equity to worry about that.
This is, like, so criminal. It's so criminal. And there's absolutely going to be zero criminal accountability for any of it. That's, I think, what's so frustrating about the whole thing. We're not... It's not like the International Criminal Court can do anything about it. Like, nobody can do anything about it. You know, nobody's ever going to serve any time for this. So that was that story. Anything else I missed?
Oh,
so much. Probably. So much more. All right. Well,
it's been a dark couple of weeks. It's going to be a dark. I don't think it's going to be better from here on out.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, look here. The polls all look really good. Like, the actually kind of crazy good for Biden. Because yeah. It turns out, I mean, even the base, which is usually pretty inelastic, if you're 65 and older, turns out you can be a little bit. Maybe you'll fudge your vote a bit.
Yeah,
when Trump's starting to kill you.
That apparently in the 65 plus, they've moved like 20 points this September in the last month. It's crazy, 20 points towards Biden. It's almost hard to believe that.
Because they don't want to die.
What's shocking is that this entire administration, like, they are just, like, it's epicenter for this virus. Like, the whole place is diseased, and we have to trust that they're going to keep this country safe from the virus. I mean, just, I think the most shocking thing, actually, is that it took this long. But I also, by the way, I cannot deal with the conspiracy theories around this. People make me crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do get that it is very fair to be skeptical of what the White House says, because they've earned no trust, and the timeline was all over the place, and it didn't make any sense. But the whole, he's faking a thing? No.
He would never, this is the one thing he'd never fake, you know? I mean, well, I don't know. But anyway, this is the one thing he wouldn't fake. Because it just makes him look weak. It makes him look bad. He hates that, and he has to hide. But the other crazy thing is the spin. The spin now is that, number one, did you see that one some spokesperson was on Fox and was like, well, see, now Trump has firsthand experience with the virus, which Biden doesn't have. And that gives him a leg up to Biden. And others, we've got Matt Gaetz, who's insane. I mean, just insane. He tweeted, I will never love another president again. But how Trump is a superhero who has kicked the China virus's butt. Instead of the other way around, they're just hailing him as like this. And Trump himself basically came out of Walter Reed and then did a video and then did a tweet saying, it's not so bad. The virus is not so bad.
Yeah, sure. If you too have the medical resources of the person who has the most medical resources in the whole freaking
world.
Universe.
Yeah.
Like literally the guy who gets probably the single best chance of surviving it, then you'll be fine. Yeah. No worries. No big deal. You'll just have lung damage and possibly other effects and, like, you know, still a risk of dying. See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, already we were doing bad about stopping
this
virus.
Like,
Trump was not...
temples right now, but go ahead. Sorry.
Trump was not doing that great job of stopping it. But, like, he had a little bit of vested interest because he didn't want it. He really didn't want it. So, like, he still had some skin in the game of trying to reduce massive spread of coronavirus.
Now he has none.
Now that he's had it, he got nothing to make him... He has no reason whatsoever to care anymore.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's why he's okay exposing everybody around him to it. He just doesn't give a shit. The only person that matters is him. Anyhow, all right. Well, that's it for us, I guess, this week. We'll be back in 7 days. And, you know, the whole world could be upside down by then. I know we're hoping for different things, Susan, but I could get banned from Twitter for saying what I...
for the reemergence of an American democracy. That's all I want here.
Yeah, I'm hoping Biden makes it. I have to say, I thought he was very good in the debate. I thought he was very sharp in the town hall. But his age is apparent, and so that worries me. So Kamala, save us now. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening in. Thank you, Susan. And we'll be back in 7 days.
See you then.
A big thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the 45th podcast week after week. And if you'd like to give us further support, you can do that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/45thpod. By doing so, you can become a supporter and patron for as little as $5 a month. And to do so, again, go to patreon.com/45thpod. A shout out and thank you to our sponsors. They make this program possible. And I urge our listeners to please check out our sponsors and use their products. And thank you to them for helping us produce week after week. Thank you to our audio producer, Hannah McCarthy, our executive producer, Meetal Thelhan. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Our handle is at 45th Pod. Our website is www.45thpod.com. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next week.